let me in. Shiba, shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba, shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba, shiba. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Touch your mind. Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, a show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. There are so many things to enjoy in San Francisco. There are so many talented people who act and write, and some people do both. One of those people is here today to talk to you about an amazing body of work that he does and the show that's coming up for him. I'd like to welcome the very lovely and talented Stan Stone. Hello.
Lovely and talented. I like that. Hello, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being on the show today. Before we get into what you're doing, tell us how you came to, or when did you discover that you had an affinity for both acting and then for writing?
Well, you know, it started actually a really long time ago, probably 30 years ago.
Wow, okay.
I was always a wallflower. And had social anxiety and things like that. So I decided to take a improv class at Bay Area Theater Sports down at Fort Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And that just taught me that I could be on stage, be myself, tell a story, or help tell a story. And that it also taught me that I could just get up and fail. Not every improv sketch is brilliant.
Okay.
And you just have to accept that.
So did improv make you, like, I don't understand how being in front of a group of people and failing actually gives you confidence.
Because the times that you fail, you also, there are many, many times when you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned through improv is how to succinctly tell a story, ask yourself what comes next, and that led to my being able to write more, write scenes, write sketches, to act and perform. So it gave me some freedom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. So did you write first or act first?
I was an actor first.
Okay.
I acted with a group called QAF, and I also acted with a film group.
Oh.
And we did called Bear Witness Films.
You did what?
And Bear Witness Films.
What are those?
They are short, improvised-based films. So this group of improvisers and filmmakers and actors, we get together and we create short films.
Okay. Okay. And how many of those did you do?
Oh, my gosh. Tons. We won several awards. There's a submission process that comes to the city once a year called 48 Hour Film Project.
Uh-huh.
They give you 3 days to write and film and edit and submit a short film based on some prompts that they give you.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And then they show it at a local theater, along with lots of other films that have been submitted. And then the audience chooses the best ones. And we've gotten lots of awards for best acting, best directing, best story. And so that's been a really good process for me, and just sort of learning how to not only write, but do other things like directing and film.
So is directing a film substantively different from directing a stage production?
I would say yes. When you're directing for film, the actors don't need to be as broad.
Mm-hmm.
You can get really close up and you can get really deep emotions that can come across in film, whereas in stage productions, you really need to perform to the back row.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting actors to be bigger in places, especially if you don't have a microphone, is key.
Got it. I have noticed in watching lots of shows that when you see a Broadway actor in a television show, they tend to be way more exaggerated than the other actors. And it took me a long time to realize it's, oh, because they've been trained to be on a stage trying to project what they're doing to the back row.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing. And I find that for me, it's also a little difficult to watch a stage performance that's been filmed.
Mm.
You know, it takes me out of the moment, and there's an energy that happens when you're sitting in the theater and watching a performance that you don't really get when you're at home or on your sofa with a, you know, cocktail and and watching a stage performance.
While you're scrolling through your emails and, you're not, you're doing all manner of things, whereas when you're in a theater, you're just focused on the theater.
That's correct, yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about the most recent thing you've written.
So the most recent thing I've written is called Bridges of San Francisco County.
Mm-hmm.
This is a play, short play that I wrote as part for Playground SF, mm-hmm. which is a theater company here in San Francisco. We are the founders of Playground. There's also a Playground Chicago, Playground LA, and a Playground New York.
Okay.
They all have their own circle of writers, and so I am part of San Francisco's Playground Writers Circle.
Now,
and this season, we had a series of plays, and at the end of the season, they choose the best six plays of the season mm-hmm. and restage them. So my play, Bridges of San Francisco County, was chosen as one of the best for 2026.
Nice. And what is Bridges of San Francisco County about? I've never seen Bridges of Madison County, so you're going to have to really break it down for me.
There's actually no real relation to the movie. But,
oh, okay.
My Bridges, it's a satirical one-act play
mm-hmm.
that imagines the San Francisco's iconic bridges as bickering socialites at an upscale party that's hosted by Mayor Daniel Lorry.
Okay.
The Golden Gate Bridge is known as GG, and the Bay Bridge is known as BB.
Okay.
And GG revels in her celebrity status.
Of course.
While the overlooked and hardworking BB struggles with feelings of insecurity mm-hmm. and resentment mm-hmm. over living in her rival's shadow.
I love it.
I don't know if anybody's old enough to remember Dallas or Dynasty TV shows, but that's kind of the relationship they have.
Love it. So which one of the, I'm guessing that Gigi is Alexis Carrington.
You guessed correctly. That's right.
And I would say that BB might be Dominique Devereaux, but she had a lot of confidence. So maybe BB was Charlene Tilton from, you know, the Charlene Tilton character from Dallas. But I don't know.
You're so spot on. There's also an appearance by Carl the Fog.
Mm. Is he CC?
Carl. Sort of wanders in and out of the party, and he's sort of this awkward, clingy romantic who keeps disrupting their conversation.
I love this. When is this playing?
This is playing at the Petro Stage. You can find out on petrostage.org, and that's May 30th and 31st at 7 p.m.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice, nice. So so that's the Bridges of San Francisco County. And then, like, you mentioned that you're one of the founders of explain that to me.
Oh, no, I'm not. The Playground SF, which has their theater at the Petrero Stage, they're the main group. Of Playground. They started Playground.
Okay.
But there's also Satellite Playground.
Right. Got it.
Playground Chicago, Playground LA, Playground New York.
But San Francisco was the first?
San Francisco was the first.
Yeah. Okay, now I understand. Fog cleared. So Carl wandered in and Carl wandered out. So is it just... Is it just for those two? Repeat the performance dates again.
May 30th and 31st. So my play will be one of the six best plays of the season that's performed on those evenings.
And those will be the only opportunities to see that show?
It's also simulcast.
Oh.
So if you can't make it to the theater, you can watch it streaming.
All right. And if people wanted to get tickets or to learn more about the show, do you guys have an online presence?
Yeah. If you go to petrostage.org, mm-hmm. that'll give you all the information about the best. Look for the best of Playground 26.
And if people want to know more about what you're doing and any upcoming things that you have going on, how would they go about doing that?
They can find me on Instagram, stan.stone2. And I'm also on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook as well.
Very good. Well, Stan Stone, it has been a pleasure talking with you, and I'm going to plan to come and see the show.
Woohoo! I can't wait to see you there.
Awesome. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. People of Earth, this is your opportunity to see the Bridges of San Francisco County playing this coming weekend. And I just love the concept. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. So let's go.
We'll be right back.
That's Cannonball Adderley and Marnie. That, my friends, is from the Jazz Workshop Volume 2, Jazz Workshop Revisited, actually. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. A lot of you know it's getting ready to vote is right around the corner. Voting is a cornerstone of democracy, and you need to keep it alive, especially if you have a little bit of melanin in your skin. There is a movement called Black Votes Matter. Here to talk about that, I'd like to welcome Courtney Saunders and Simone Jude. Hello.
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 Thank you so much for having us, Marilyn.
Thank you both for being on the show today. Who wants to tell me a little bit about Black Votes Matter, how it got started, and what the mission statement is?
Yeah, I can do that. This is Simone Jude.
Excellent.
So I am a filmmaker out of San Francisco, and I've been working with Black Voters Matter for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is their actual 10-year anniversary, and Latasha Brown and Cliff Albright are two community organizers, grassroots, who have actually been organizing for about 30 years
in
the South, and they were inspired to formalize their work and create Black Voters Matter in 2016. And their motto is basically, as goes the South, the rest of the country goes. So basically, they saw great potential in Georgia, not only Georgia, but all throughout the South. And they've leveraged their grassroots networks to really expand voter engagement and education and empowering communities to sort of lift themselves up by coming together and communicating their needs that are unique to each local community, right? They're different for each community, whether it be rural or urban. So I've traveled with them for about 8 years and just gotten to know them as an organization. And they've really had a massive impact on voter turnout in the last, I'd say, 5-6 elections. And Courtney has done some really amazing work in the South around Black voter engagement and outreach.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what better place to raise money for them than the Bay Area, where there is so much resource? And so we've decided to kind of create a cultural bridge between basically well-funded, impact-driven, progressive women and this Black voting movement out of Georgia.
Interesting. Courtney, can you build on that?
Yes. Thank you so much, Simone. And I would also add that the Bay Area has had a long history in empowering civil rights movements in the South and voting rights movements. And so historically it's been important, so we'd love to build on that history as well.
Okay. Can you talk about the recent dismantling of the Voters Rights Act?
Yeah. So as some know, you know, a lot of voter protections have been basically wiped from the history books by the Supreme Court recently. And this has really big ramifications on Black voting rights, but not just Black voters. I mean, really all voters. And the gerrymandering that's happening right now is pretty extreme. So our hope is that we can really mobilize this election and make massive impact through not only education, but also just general empowerment and really helping fuel the buses, right? Because Black Voters Matter doesn't just have one bus. They can have many buses sent in multiple states all at once. And the impact is great. Like the voter turnout in these counties that they go, you can actually see the difference that they're making. So we want to really give them the resources they need. So what I do want to call out is that we're having an event on June 7th, which is in downtown San Francisco. And it is specific for women. So we're bringing together around 100 women. And this is sort of just the beginning because we're likely going to spin this into a greater movement and fundraising campaign for the election. But this is the first formal event that we're hosting. And if you want to find more, find out more about it, you can go to bit.ly/Black Voters Matter. That's bit.ly/Black Voters Matter. And that just describes sort of who we're inviting to this event. Mm-hmm. And we're flying out Latosha Brown. We have Tammy Hall, who's a Grammy Award-winning pianist. She's a soul jazz pianist, mm-hmm. Local to the Bay Area. And the two of them are collaborating for the first time at this event. And it's going to be pretty magical. And the purpose of the event is to raise funds for Black Voters Matter. So we are encouraging those really primarily impact-driven women, mm-hmm. if they are, you know, this resonates with them, to come to June 7th. If you go to that website, you can see the location. Technically, it's an invite-only event, but if you are inspired to go, we encourage you to reach out. We encourage you to come. And we will be spinning this into a greater fundraiser in the coming months.
Okay. So you mentioned that you guys have boots on the ground. What have been some of the challenges with Black Votes Matter, like, you know, actual nuts and bolts challenges?
Yeah. Well, the first trip I made out there to film, they were holding an event at an elder center, and there were about 100 elders who were going to go to vote. And Black Voters, they were going to bring them on the bus, mm-hmm. to go vote. And the commissioner of the city caught wind of us giving these Black folks a ride, and they basically called the elder center and shut it down. And so I filmed all this, and it was a pretty big drama. And these are, like, just the sweetest Black folks. We weren't doing anything partisan. This was a totally nonpartisan event.
Uh-huh.
We were really just offering a ride to the polls. And he basically sort of made a veiled threat, and assumed it was partisan when it wasn't. And we couldn't take these folks because the director of the center, who was Black, mm-hmm. felt intimidated. Mm-hmm. And so we had the bus running. We were ready to go, and they had to shut it down. And so when that happened, we actually turned that. I created a video and we spread the word, and Black Voters Matter really exploded from that point on, because this kind of thing happens all the time, and
sure.
it's not always clear or explicit, but it's kind of built into the system. And so there was a lot of outrage over that, and that was in 2018. It was in Louisville, Georgia. But they also shut down polling places all the time, in Black-centric or Black areas, to make it harder for them to get to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
They're also threatening ID laws all the time to vote. They're really trying to make it harder and harder to vote all the time. They're also now threatening mail-in voting. You know, and as you know, like, Black voters are disproportionately working-class folks, and they have a hard time getting off of work just to go mm-hmm. to vote. They can't drive an hour to go vote, or they can't take off 3 hours if there's a long line, right?
Sure,
so
sure.
there was that law in Georgia where you couldn't give people water in line if they were waiting to vote, and some of those lines were hours long. So there's so many things that are happening all at once that it's hard to keep track of them all, and Black Voters Matter does a great job of doing that
mm-hmm.
and keeping our focus, sort of our eyes on the prize, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really all about empowering, and there are plenty of barriers happening, and they're fighting those fights with a legal team and awareness and press and PR campaigns, but they're also really just mobilizing and empowering on the ground and listening to folks, right? Because
mm-hmm.
people are frustrated, and they have every right to be frustrated.
Sure.
So a lot of it is like a listening tour, right? Just
mm-hmm.
really getting to know the folks, where they're going, and building partnerships on the ground in that grassroots way that they do.
I would imagine that there would be auxiliary things like Native Votes Matter. Do you know of these organizations?
Yeah, they do coalition building. I mean, what they know is, you know, I am a white queer woman, so I'm generally the only white person on the bus, which is its own thing, you know. But they primarily have Black partner groups, but they do all kinds of events with, mm-hmm. you know, folks who reach out to other types of communities, like
mm-hmm.
Native American communities and, you know, Latino communities. And I think that coalition building is really important. And that's partly why we wanted to do this event, was because as a queer person, as a woman, our rights are at risk as well. And if we don't build these coalitions, we're just going to be pitted against each other. And this is sort of like their game plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the organization is Black Voters Matter, not mm-hmm. Black Votes Matter, because the way they say it is Black Voters Matter. This is not just about votes. This is about like needs within the community that need to be met, that are not being met. And it's about coming together and communicating those needs, right? And mm-hmm. electing people who are actually listening and want to actually serve the community rather than themselves.
Okay.
And that's from a local level up. And they also have 600 partners on the ground who are all grassroots organizers. So they're not one of these like top heavy organizations. They literally fund, they do these mini grants on the ground with mm-hmm. grassroots partners who are really the connectors within communities. And that's why they have such a massive impact on the communities that they come through, they tour to.
Understood, understood. So, Courtney, tell me a little bit more about some of the successes and challenges that you've had in Black Voters Matter.
Thank you so much. For instance, I think that we've seen all of the organizing that has happened in Georgia, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
We have Senator Warnock. We have seen Georgia is now considered, I mean, it was basically written off by major parties
mm-hmm.
As a state that couldn't be, that wouldn't have impact. And now we see that it's an incredible, powerful voting bloc.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see, I mean, I think that this is why it's happening. The powers that be can see that if communities vote, we will win. Mm-hmm. If we come together and mm-hmm. vote, we will
mm-hmm.
win.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is all an attempt to kind of to erase the power of the people. And so we have to come back together again.
And then I just have a follow-up question about having filmed the intimidation tactics. Were there any repercussions for the guy who called in, or was it just business as usual?
Yeah, that's a good question. Sadly, this is just business as usual.
Mm.
You know, this was really eye-opening mm-hmm. for me as a white person to see that happen and
so
then
no
to really get their response of like, oh, this is a normal Monday. You know, this
mm-hmm.
is just how things work. This was in rural Georgia, so maybe Atlanta is quite a bit different, but this happens in Atlanta, I'm sure. But
mm-hmm.
rural Georgia is its own culture. But yeah, and then we have the systematic oppression happening, right? The voting suppression that's happening all over. And that's also what Black Voters Matter is working to dismantle and to call into the light and show what's actually being, what's happening. But for them, their strength is not focusing on the negative. Their strength is always focusing on the people who they help to organize and serve. And that is your everyday folks,
mm-hmm.
you know, who they are mm-hmm. connecting with on the road. But yeah, voter suppression is happening on every single level, every single day, for sure. Absolutely.
All right.
And I think also one of the strengths of Black Voters Matter is that it's the vision is long term infrastructure and organizing. They're
yeah.
not going
yeah.
away. And it is so important. Some people kind of come in right before elections and then leave. Some
mm-hmm.
organizations do that. But
mm-hmm.
Black Voters Matter is part of the community.
So if people
yeah, exactly.
if people want to find out more about Black Voters Matter, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, so I would suggest going to our event page, which is bit.ly/Black Voters Matter. And if you want to get their impact report, you can just go to blackvotersmatter.org and you can see the impact they have on the communities that they visit and voting turnout and all the campaigns they do. They do campaigns very regularly that are dealing with these kinds of issues of voter suppression. And so they're an incredible organization, which is why we want to raise as much money and fuel for them going into the midterms. So they really walk the walk, I would say. And that's why we wanted to make this connection between the Bay Area and their work, which is actually through about 10 states going into the midterm. So it's actually not just the South. They're going to Ohio, they're going to Pennsylvania, they're going to all those battlegrounds where it really matters.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, excellent.
Well, yes, and I would like to add that we have the pleasure of presenting DJ Marilyn at the event as well.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I will be playing.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you want to spin, Marilyn?
I have no idea yet. That's a conversation that will happen in the coming days.
Okay.
But it will be danceable. Let's put it that way.
Amazing. And you know Tammy Hall, don't you?
I do. I do indeed.
Amazing.
So I'm very
Amazing.
Excited about it.
How do you know Tammy Hall?
We've performed together, and we're just old friends. So
coincidence.
I know. Courtney Saunders and Simone Jude, I want to thank you both so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. We look forward to meeting you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
We're excited to see you on June 7th.
All right. Okay, people of Earth, this is your opportunity. Go check out what Black Voters Matter does and enjoy. These ladies are going to be doing it.
I was walking down the street the other day with a normal pace, meeting and greeting everyone with a smile on my face. Jaywalking and gay talking, I thought I was sharper than a tack. I got myself so far carried out, I thought I would never get back. And then a girl did it, and it sure upsets a man like me. When girls do it, it sure upsets a man. Yeah. All right. I saw a man grab a freight train, roll 10 miles, and jump off into the air. I saw a man smoke 10 cigars at once and didn't cough or even swear. I've seen people do weird things in my life and nobody applaud or even booed. A man jumped off the top of the Empire State Building and didn't even make the news. But let a girl do it. All right, y'all. And it sure upsets a man. Dig this.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That was Bobby Guitar with When Girls Do It. That's a single that we have lying around here. It is 12:41. Time's lost all meaning for me. Time has not lost all meaning for my next guest, whom we've had before, who's part of the Red Room Orchestra, but It's not about the Red Room Orchestra this time, but you're just gonna, let me just introduce him. I'd like to welcome the shapely and talented Mark Capel. Hello.
Well, if I could be as handsome as you and as talented, then I would have rights to this mic. We're talking about community music, community radio, and this is my reach out through my dearest of friends, Marilyn Fowler.
Thank you. So you just got back from Bali, and you're going to go flying. First of all, how was Bali?
Well, Bali is where we should all be.
Oh, okay.
They get up in the morning. They sweep the street. They say hello. They don't say hello once. They say salamut pagi. Uh-huh. So we could bring that to San Francisco. And we might be able to cure our own mental illness and the sadness of this town occasionally by just greeting others.
All right. Well, then I'm going to say hi, Mark.
Salamut pagi.
Salam pagi. So you've got a show coming up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the deepest and dearest of shows. Mm-hmm. This is the West Coast Spiritual Corinthians who brought me up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How are they doing?
Oh, man, it's hard to be a gospel artist.
Oh.
Yeah. So we have all we can have.
Okay.
So many of them are in God's graces, so mm-hmm. to speak. Mm-hmm. But the leader of the group is 94. He's coming.
Wow. Okay.
The other members are, they're not teenagers. And then I've got my crew.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Mark and the Casuals and the West Coast Spiritual Corinthians. And you may know this, and I think the audience knows this,
mm-hmm.
but we feel it. There's no difference between soul and gospel.
Well, but if you ask like people from the old days, they would say that soul is the devil music.
Let me go on that.
Okay.
Willie Myers, who was the high note singer in the group.
Okay.
He ran dry cleaning out of Richmond
on
McDonald Avenue.
All right.
Those of you around here know what I'm talking.
Uh-huh.
And he would say, "Mark, those rock bands want you because you're so good, but the devil will pick you up and drop you like a hot potato."
I love that. So tell me, how did you get involved with the Spiritual Corinthians?
I was running a chain of stores called Whole Earth Access, which were essentially like kind of hippie Amazon.
Okay.
And frankly, the world would be better if we were running the retail commerce with the spirit and soul we had, because we contributed to the community.
Uh-huh.
We provided discounts to anybody who was an artist, and we provided money to the community.
Yeah.
And they bought a store over in Fashion Island, San Mateo. And they were thrifty people, so they were all like, well, we could just hire people to tear out this carpet, but we could sell it for $1 a square yard, and people pick it up.
Wait. Old carpet? They just were like, oh,
we very nice old carpet.
But still.
Yeah, no, it was mildly stanky.
Oh, but people.
And so this one guy shows up, a few people showed up, but uh-huh. one guy keeps on showing up every day.
Okay.
Very tall, very African-American, quiet, taciturn guy in coveralls with his wife who's yelling at him the whole time. Booker, you are irrelevant. Irreverent and completely useless. Keep
aww,
tearing that up.
That's awful.
That was Annie Mae. No, that's just Annie Mae. She'd watched too many Perry Masons.
Okay.
And so I was just there to sell the carpet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I was like, and he said, "Mark, what are you singing?" I said, "Take me back, dear Lord. Take me back, dear Lord, to where I belong." "What are you doing on Thursday? Do you know how to get to 3rd and Gerald?" I said, "That's by the," back then it was just a KFC, then it became uh-huh. a KFC Taco Bell, and then it became uh-huh. nothing. And I showed up at the West Coast Spiritual Corinthians rehearsal and began singing and playing piano with them.
Wow. You just showed up. How did the other members respond to this white guy walking in? And they were like,
"Well, thank you for acknowledging, you know, my, you know, melanin within
deficiency
and without."
Okay.
It was a weird scene because it's an open church. It's a tiny little Church of God in Christ church next to a barber school.
Okay.
And I mean, those of you from Bayview and Hunters Point know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And you know this band. And there was an old crazy guy sitting in the back going, meep, 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 meep. And then a fellow walks over and says, "That man used to be a doctor."
Wow. That is the world, isn't it?
It is.
That it is the world.
And, you know, we're talking 1985, 86, a while ago for you kids. And there was gin and juice. There was knives. There was behaviors.
Wow.
And part of the spirit of gospel, and actually part of the spirit that we should all have, is we should make ourselves tired enough through music and conviviality and community to pray.
Okay.
So take it out of the van, take it out of the streets, take it off the corner, bring it to the church, contribute to the community, and know that the gospel community, like my good friend Boots Riley says, there's a maternal spirit here in the Bay Area.
Okay.
There's nothing more maternal than a black church.
Okay. So you got in, you proved yourself, because that's all you need to do is just, it's like.
I didn't just prove myself. I would jump over my keyboard from the back. They'd say, "Who is that crazy white boy? And where are you playing next?"
Wow.
Yeah.
So where are you playing next?
Well, there is a place called The Chapel.
Uh-huh.
It's not the Mark Capel. It's called The Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's 777 Valencia Street,
mm-hmm.
in the heart of the Mission, which is the heart of the city. And we are putting on an early program, doors at 7, show at 8,
mm-hmm.
with DJ Lead Teddy, Serious Slanger.
Okay.
And Mark and the Casuals, which is my home group,
mm-hmm.
Which includes about 20 people, including my son.
That's a huge. How old is your son now?
24.
Wow.
Yeah. No, he's little Ricky, but now he's big Ricky.
Wow.
No, he grew up in show business.
Okay.
He got taught by, you know, a fellow I was hanging out with yesterday, Fred Ortiz from Los Lobos, Todd Roper, Michael Urbano, the finest musicians on mm-hmm. earth. So he grew up on percussion and drums, but I've got my crew, and we're gonna meld together with the Corinthians and just provide 3 hours of uplift.
3 hours. Okay, so what time is it?
Door 7, show 8. We'll be out by 11.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And you'll go to bed tired.
Okay.
And hopefully you go to church the next day.
All right, so yeah, and church is an all day thing as well. So talk about these 20 people that you've got in your band. You mentioned your son, but who else? What other names might people recognize?
Well, there's Bart Davenport, who's the best of the Bay Area, from mm-hmm. The Kinetics, The Loved Ones, Supernaturals, his own solo career, born in the East Bay, part of a very important Berkeley contingent.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Karina Denike from NOFX, the Dancehall Crashers, Merrill Press. Brilliant singer,
mm-hmm.
horns, Amber Lamprecht, Carol Ashby, Scott Larson, Tom Greaser, on bass, Pete Strauss, from an irreverent group called the Dwarves, a.k.a. Salt Peter.
Okay.
Tom Ayers, who's our spiritual leader,
uh-huh.
when he wants to be. That's how the spirit works. You know what I'm saying? Brian Mello, Tom Gelbreth, both from Harold Ray.
Okay.
Some guest artists. Could be you even. No, we're going to open this up. No, I mean, really, you know, we talk about community radio. We talk about community. We don't talk about those things enough. Comunidad, mm-hmm. see? Mm-hmm. Claro. And this is a community show. We're pricing it based around gas prices.
Mm.
I know. But it could have been more, but it's less. And if you don't feel like you're served by the show, I'll make you some cornbread.
Oh.
And I make great cornbread.
Now, sweet or savory?
A little mixture of both. There's some maple syrup. It's a blackened butter skillet cornbread.
Okay.
That has maple syrup, buttermilk, two kinds of flour,
mm-hmm.
real pieces of corn.
Mm.
Some Korean stuff that I can't even talk about because it's top secret.
Okay.
And it looks like a mistake when you take it out. It looks like a souffle that didn't fall but rose like Pompeii. And it's moist for days. And you know, the best food tastes good the next day.
And I maintain that most problems can be solved with a toasted corn muffin. I've said that for years and years and years.
No, I got to hang out with my good friends Los Lobos yesterday at Rancho Nicasio. And, you know, despite anything that Kaiser told me, I had a mac and cheese that was almost like, you know, just cheese soup. And then they put out all the cornbread for free. And then I watched Los Lobos tease people on La Bamba. Like, here's a song by Bob Dylan. And they played the like a Rolling Stone thing. And then they did La Bamba. And then they did Good Loving. And then they did La Bamba. And then David Hidalgo, leader of the group. And I talked about Gamelan because I just got back from Bali. Yeah.
Do you think you'll incorporate Gamelan into your set at some point?
It would be, say, like, I can't. It's the same as incorporating blood, sweat, and tears and oxygen into my set. Gamelan lives in me.
For our listening audience, once more, when, where, what time?
May 31st, the chapel. Tickets available there. Just use your little hand computer. Call up Will Robbins and say, danger, danger. I don't know where the show is. But yeah, chapelsf, I believe, .com. Tickets are available at the door. Tickets are available online. We want you all to be there. And again, if you don't like the show,
you'll make cornbread.
And if you don't like cornbread, get out.
And if people want to find out more about the Spiritual Corinthians or all of the bands that you're involved in, how do they go about doing that?
I'm available, you know, semi-privately on IG at Mark Capel Music. And I have a very open Facebook page with my name, Mark Capel.
Mark with a C.
MarkCapelle. And then also it'll reveal a lot about the Corinthians. And you know, the weird thing, and you must go through this, is that some of the things we love feel like they're secretive. So like the Silent Film Festival. Like, why doesn't everybody know about that? I mean, there's places I buy stews and different foods around town. Why are they lining up at Tartine? There's so much we have here. And and this is, you know, man, I can, you know,
we're a lucky city.
I could pound my chest and say how good the band is, but I know how good you are. Get out, get in the right line.
All right.
You know, and you know what the right line is? It's not the red line. I'm going to be a poll worker, and this is about politics and compassion.
All right. Well, with that, Mark Capel, I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
Always a treat.
People of Earth, this is your opportunity on the 31st to go out and hear some amazing.
Can we give some tickets away?
Oh, yeah, we can give tickets away. How many do you want to give away?
Two tickets.
Okay, for this, for the 31st?
31st at the chapel.
Okay, the 31st at the chapel. The 31st at the chapel. If you give me a call here at 346-5376, you can have those tickets. It's just about time for me to go off into the sunset, so I'm going to wait for my callers to call in. I know it's Memorial Day, so let me, but it's going to happen. So I'm going to leave you with some Spiritual Corinthians. I'm looking for the day to come. And until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.
Bismillah.